This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM, but you can always stream anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Glad that he is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Happy-ish Friday.
Happy Friday, Jace. My company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday, he's the host of VSiN's College Football, College Basketball Betting Podcast, VSiN's Betting Tailgate Show, weekends at 9 a.m. Central. Check local listings for that. You can also hear him on VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights. Download the VSiN Watch app on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy, howdy. Are we allowed to talk about it yet, or should we just be quiet until the round is complete?
Have we hit the tee shot on 18? We're still waiting on 18. No, we gotta get this thing to the house.
Okay,
we have to get it to the house.
So, can I tell a story real quick?
Yes, you may.
So obviously, I was not on yesterday. It's not my normal day. And as I have learned over these past couple of weeks, you are quite the
ride or die Rory guy.
Well, no. Oh. So I was not aware of your allegiance to Rory.
Okay.
And I saw you tweet out. What did you tweet out yesterday? It was like, I'm nervous how well he's playing.
Yeah, it was along the lines of, I'm starting to get nervous at how solidly he was playing.
So I was not aware of your infatuation, fandom of Rory McIlroy.
He's like one of the actual things in my life in sports that I still like openly root for.
I thought you were reverse mushing him.
No.
I thought you were anti-Rory.
No, I was reverse mushing my emotions.
I was about to get very mad.
Oh, because, I got the same ticket you do, bro.
Oh, I know. So I didn't know we were riding together. I thought it was a St. Mary's, Alabama situation all over again. So as I got in the car yesterday, look, I full disclosure, I like to bet, if people have not learned. I feel like I'm relatively smart. And I say relatively with, you know, air quotes, on college football, college basketball, you know, the NFL. We all bet the NFL. I admittedly know absolutely nothing about golf, but I love betting the majors and especially men masters. So I have smart people on the show. I follow their bets. And I had enough people tell me that this was the week for Rory that I was like, all right, I'm in. I'm going to go outright top 5, top 10. And I've got it on yesterday in the house before I go out to work, and I'm like dancing. I'm like, man, Rory's crushing it. Like, this is great. And I get in the car, and that's when I get word from you. Yeah.
So,
not so good on 15.
It was quite the swing of emotions because, like, my wife even knows, like, she's like, the only other time I see you like this when you watch sports is when you gamble. And, like, I'm locked in. But, like, you know, when her teams are playing, like, I want her teams to win. But at the same time, like, I'm not living and dying unless I bet on them. So when he hit the 4-iron on 15 and they had the tracer with it and it looks like it's going right at the flag, I thought to myself, he's going to win the Masters. And it was going to be, like, I was like, I'm going to get 4 days of this. And, like, I was thinking back, the only other time that I felt like this would be that kind of story is Tiger in 19 was unbelievable. But it was, like, going to be on par for me with, all right, we're in the fairway on, well, are we? No, it's leaning.
We're a little leaning. Yeah, a little.
We got tree trouble. All right. It was the 04 Masters with Phil. Because I've told you, I can't explain it, but anyone that has a brother that is close in age, and my brother and I are 22 months apart, and for whatever reason, when you grow up, if somebody likes something, the other's going to pick the rival. And so I had the unfortunate reality of, at the 97 Masters, my brother called dibs on Tiger. So that meant that I was destined to a lifetime of the David Duvalls, the Phils, and then when Phil goes and ruins the golf world, splits up and fractures the golf world, hasn't exactly been like an awesome last few years of being trying to be a Phil guy. And then finally, I watch a lot of golf. I play a lot of golf, but I had followed Rory since he was like the up and coming junior, and there was just something like that I loved about him. And then when he had the disaster at Augusta in 2011, like I was like, I have no idea why I'm riding so hard for this guy, but like I feel for him. And then he turned around, and then he won the U.S. Open at Congressional in your neck of the woods, or
destroyed the field
and just absolutely smoked him. I was like, this is my guy. Like I'm ready, because this was like this is like when we're starting to realize
it's been a
like,
rough decade for you.
Oh, it has been
the U.S. Open.
Oh, and then to lose,
Bryson
is like, I hate Bryson as much as I love Rory. And so, like, that was, like, anytime that, like, when someone's like, did you watch Full Swing? I was like, why would I want to relive that? Like, watching Rory lose to Bryson is, like, it was awful. Like, it was terrible.
I don't know. You're not fully, I don't know what was, I was just mad last night. Something else happened that I don't need to get into that just annoyed me. So I was just kind of pissed yesterday.
Oh, I was furious. I turned on
Rory.
I had
Rory. I had Morikawa. Like, those are my two guys this week. They both crapped the bed down the stretch. And then I go and, you know, go to work. Work's fine, whatever. Talk about sports for 4 hours. And then something else happened that annoyed me. So I was sitting there on my couch last night, and I was trying to find something to watch.
The replay.
I started watching... the Caitlin Clark, David Letterman thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was like 10 minutes in. I was like, nah, this isn't for me. So I went and watched Full Swing and watched the Rory meltdown.
I mean,
Bryson.
Last night, to put where I was, like you said, anger doesn't go as far. Like, normally, I think what most normal fans do when their team or their person has like a meltdown, you just kind of want to avoid it. Like, I was turning on live from, I was finding, like, every podcast, YouTube, and I just wanted them to lay into him. Like, I wanted an apology from Rory because it's all his fault. He literally goes, the whole week it's about letting yourself get heartbroken, believe in something. It's like, I decided that I was going to believe again, despite being on the record as saying he will never win this major. Like, I just made peace with it. It's fine. I do believe he's going to win another major. And so, like, I'm like, bloodthirsty, just wanting everyone to hammer him for how dumb he was on 15. And then Paul McGinley made a fair point, and I hadn't thought of this. And Paul McGinley, obviously, is part of the Rory PR team. He's an actual Irishman, whereas Rory's Northern Irish, but he's very much in the, we're gonna cover for Rory. And then when he did the segment on Live From, that showed it's really Akshay Bhatia's fault because he iced him out for 5 minutes and Rory was sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then he just lost his patience. He's like, all right, well, that's a new spin zone I didn't see calling. Like, really, this isn't Rory's fault. This was Akshay Bhatia's fault because he was making a mess of the 15th. So that was quite nice. But then today, I didn't know what to think because he shoots one under on the front, and I don't know how much of it you got to watch. His body language was awful. He looked like his dog had died. Like, he was just, it's just off. And then he goes on 10, and he hits it to gimme range, kicking birdie. Birdie's 11. Then he gets the break of the day. He hits it, which is the ultimate Rory experience. He's just gone birdie, birdie. He's gotten it to 3 under. Like, he's still a long way back, but, like, you're open to the idea if he can have a – there's a lot of chances for good scores on the back nine. And if he can have a run, he could be right back in it. And then he airmails the green on 12. It goes into the bushes, but somehow comes back out. He's able to get up and down for par. Eagles 13, solid par on 14, two-putt birdie on 15 with a all-around good putt. Like, the ball did like a 360. Then on 16, hits the wipiest, grossest 7-iron I've ever seen. Like, he almost shanked it. Gets up and down for par. 17 gives himself a decent look for birdie, and now we're sitting here at 18. He's at 6-under. He's 2 off the lead. And now I'm starting to have this conversation of myself of what am I going to do this weekend? Because all the stats say if you make 2 double bogeys, you're not winning this tournament. If you are as far back after round 1, you're not winning this tournament.
Yeah, the stat, by the way, is if you're since 2006, only Tiger Woods, who is 11th, you have to be in the top 10 in order to win.
And I think, like, if you looked at the distance between Tiger and the lead, it wasn't it wasn't that bad. So all of the data suggests he's going to pay for the two mistakes that he made yesterday. But right now, it's kind of tough to ignore when you're sitting there going, well, what if it doesn't apply to him? This is the best player of a generation. What if, like, all the history and stuff doesn't apply to him? But then you realize you are just setting yourself up for disaster.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Here we go. Akshay slapping it around again. Akshay just icing out Rory. God, that was such a great spin zone. He even, like, had, like, a time-lapsed video to go with it. It was breathtaking spin zone.
I love it.
Also, I was thinking about this.
Your boy Bryson just buried a...
No, this is the other problem. He's there.
He looks awesome.
Now...
He's the only... So what is it about Bryson? Because you're more of a golf guy than I am. So I think it was... not that I go to Trey Wingo for all my golf hot takes, but
yeah.
I thought he had a pretty good one yesterday, essentially saying Jon Rahm, in the peak of his career, was like, I'll take the money. And since then, he's been more or less irrelevant in the majors. Dustin Johnson, I've never seen, if you watch the first season of Full Swing, nobody was more excited to take the cash than Dustin Johnson.
I mean, the thing I've always said about Dustin has never pretended like it was anything other than what it was. This was a cash grab.
Sure.
And basically, he's like, it's retirement tour.
And I respect that.
Yeah,
because
at least,
more of the, so many of these, like, yeah, you know. No, you're taking the money. It's fine. Just say you're taking the money.
Yeah, and he's been completely honest about it.
Yeah, and he has been irrelevant in majors since joining LIV. But Bryson, is the opposite. Is that it feels like LIV has kind of revitalized his career.
So what has helped Bryson...
And the YouTube stuff.
What has clearly helped
following.
Bryson is a small doses guy. And I would be lying if I said he's...
It's like John Rothstein.
Well, it's like, you know, to act like he's not exciting... is insane. Like, he plays a style of golf, and, like, he hams it up for the fans. Like, he's a showman. Like, to act as if that's not true is the case. But when
he's done a full 180 with the fans, though, because he was kind of icy early on. And then he starts doing these YouTube things where he's, you know.
They're heavily controlled. It's very much presenting him in the best light. My biggest problem with him is just, like, you just get the whiffs of just utter fraud. And, like, trying to brand himself as the scientist
stop,
when, like,
stop.
Anything that you would see is like wrong. Oh, you're ahead of me.
Sorry. It's all right. We're on the green. We're on the green.
All right. So we got a 2-putt to get home.
We got a 2-putt for par. Let's get out of here.
I told George before the show, if we can get home at 6-under, we'll take it. The other problem is Scotty's just out there.
He's so good.
And he's the master of the masters, and he's just lurking. And so that's kind of an issue. And that shot was fine. Like, it was downhill, or it was downwind, and that's fine. The thing with Bryson is, when you're exposed to him on a weekly basis, he says so many things that are just aggravating. And you're just like, this guy, please just get him, take him away. And so what LIV has been good for him is, the thing is, he's not even like elite on the LIV tour, and he's clearly just treating it like as the lab, if you will. And so like he's just kind of like working on his game. But where I give him all the credit, man, a lot of these LIV guys, when they show up at the majors, it's pretty non-threatening. He's been a factor at the majors. And he is the one person that I think LIV has actually worked out for, because you don't need Bryson every week. But you need Bryson in the mix every now and then, because he does bring attention.
I mean, right now, if you're not that the Masters really needs help, but, you know, having the big names there.
This leaderboard could be like,
this is phenomenal.
It's about as good as the tournament could ask for.
I mean, right now, unless Scheffler completely melts down, which seems very unlikely because he's a robot, you've got DeChambeau, Scheffler, and McIlroy all in the final two pairings tomorrow. That's pretty good for a Saturday.
Yeah, and Rose is like, that's the other thing about Rose. Like, Rose is kind of like the ultimate like corporate golfer, and like everything's about the brand. But like, I kind of give him credit, man. All of his contemporaries that are kind of, you know, the Westwoods of the world, the Poulters, they all went to LIV. They took the bag. He didn't. And, you know, last year, he's not in the British Open. He qualifies for the British Open. A lot of guys of his stature would just be like, well, if I'm not in it, I'm not in it. Goes, qualifies, plays his way into the final group. And while he has not been awesome at Augusta the last couple of years, this is a place that he has had unbelievable success. Like, all the stats are, this is like, he has every number that you need for like best to not have won. And so he's kind of going around. He's plotting his way. He's not trying to, you know, he's playing the good, safe shots, and he's up there. Like, there are everyone right there, right now on the board deserves to be there. And like, this is about the best you could hope for.
I'm just mad that I didn't realize that he's been a first round leader 4 times prior to this week.
Yes. No, I mean, he used to be
60-1.
He used to be, if you did the old Calcuttas that a lot of golf groups will do, like he would, like historically, he'd be like the first guy off the board, because even if he didn't win, like the guy was going to be in the top 5 every time you were cashing. Like, he was automatic at Augusta.
Hung on today. We made predictions on what he would shoot, and we split it. My partner last night, Matt Newman's, thought he would shoot a 70. Now he's optimistic because he has a 125-1 on Rose to win, and I said he would shoot a 72. I also bet against him today with JJ Spawn, and of course, because I bet on JJ, I apologize. He went into the drink on 15 and lost by 1 stroke against Justin Rose today.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, come on, baby. Finish it out.
That group was not good for your tickets.
No.
No, because he went heavy on Max. And Max like left it all on the table to make the cut.
Resurgence. Now, and you know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Max is completely going
to 75-75 on the weekend. Like, yeah. But he spilled his guts to make the cut out here. So that's where
Rory's
we are.
Rory's not happy with this putt. A little short. Just finish it off, baby.
So he's back into the wind. This would be the ultimate, like, part of me kind of hopes, like, just go ahead and 3-putt. That way, like, I can, like,
nothing worse than hope.
Emotionally cash out. Putting back into the wind. That is a good 4 feet. So I'm assuming since you just gave
it. No, that was Scheffler just missed a, I think that was a par putt. Yeah, he just Scheffler just bogeyed seven.
So the other good thing for those that are at the top of the board right now, the reports are the wind is about to pick up and and get kind of nasty. So if you're able to get into the house, kick your feet up, everybody might start going a little backwards. Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is the other thing I was thinking about. The Masters app, everyone always goes, it's the best app in sports, which is undeniably true. I was actually thinking about this, though. Is it the best app, period? Like, what are, like, I've never seen a sports app that works this well, video, shot by shot, all the data, everything you could possibly want. Is there another app out there that even works that well?
Full disclosure, I haven't been using them.
You've got to use the app, man. It's like, even for like, even for casuals, it's awesome. Because especially if you're gambling, not every, because that's the problem with the Masters, is not everyone's covered. And so you can go and watch everyone on the app. It's unbelievable.
How's Freddie doing today?
Last I saw, he was even par on the day.
Two over now. Bogey three, bogey four, bogey seven. But did have a birdie on nine, so he's hanging around that cut line right now.
And Bernard Longer's still kind of hanging around, too.
He just buried a long birdie putt.
So
he's two under for the day.
And this is his last, like, they've tapped him on the shoulder and they've said, that's enough.
Put him out.
I was wondering if they were going to do that to the Spanish amateur after he peed in the lake, or peed in the river, stream. Race Creek, whatever.
My man, I mean, all time, comes in with the...
tell it on yourself.
I do it again.
Yeah, he's like...
I've got the upside down Sun Devil's hat. It's like, dude, just walk around, you know, telling everybody you did keg stands last night, buddy.
By the way, I hope you're sitting down for this. It turns out the Spanish elite golfer at Arizona State has a hot girlfriend.
Shocking.
No way.
Yes! Attaboy, Roars.
All right, well, that was good. Normally, I don't want people to let me know, but this one is, that one is, this is like watching on, when you've got Stat Broadcast open and you're watching the NCAA tournament, because Stat Broadcast is like 38 seconds ahead.
What a back nine for Rory. Good Lord.
So Rory, under, into the house, shoots 66 today. He is now two off the lead. And he has played his way back into the tournament, and now the Wright household has a decision this weekend of how seriously are we going to take this, because we know how this ends.
Wow. How about your sworn enemy, Akshay Bhatia, completely imploded today.
Yes, he did.
And he's going to miss the cut.
Yeah, he went...
He just bogeyed. He went bogey-bogey to finish his round, so he was... One, two, three.
Are they saying the cut's going to be one?
Right now, ESPN.com says projected cut at one.
Let me go to Data Golf. Data Golf's better.
Okay. Bhatia finishes. He's two over. So he goes from top five to.
Yeah. I'm Data Golf, who I trust, they're showing. Yeah, 92% chance that the cut ends up at plus two.
Okay. So he could.
So, like, even if the cut right now is at one, it's still. Probably going to be two. So,
oh man, hopefully my homie Denny McCarthy can make it. Pride of DC plus two, shot a three over today.
All right, so we've got the Masters going on, but this was you and I said, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Cobb, because Cobb's a Tennessee grad and he's still got a lot of friends on the beat. But I think this is an interesting story. So over at ESPN, according to Pete Thamel, Tennessee Volunteers quarterback Nico Iamiala. Hang on. Ima Ali Ava did not attend spring practice, sources told ESPN. Ima Ali Ava's absence came as a surprise to coaches and players, according to sources. Ima Ali Ava has been in conversations with the Vols about a new NIL contract. On Thursday, On3.com reported that Ima Ali Ava and the NIL collective at Tennessee were working on a new contract. Several other quarterbacks, including Miami's Carson Beck and Duke's Darian Mensah, the former Pride of Tulane, have signed NIL deals for significantly more money this offseason, and Ima Ali Ava was looking to renegotiate his deal. Okay, so let's just take this right here. This was the first kind of question that I was considering yesterday. It seems to me in the NFL, when guys hold out, there's an understanding in the locker room. You got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
Would you say that's fair? Yep, maybe it's not 1,000%, but it seems in general that's the case.
More often than not, you're right. It is. You don't mess with a guy's wallet.
I am very curious to see how this plays out, because while the NFL does have a salary cap, there's not really the thought process that if the running back gets a little bit more money, that it's taking money out of my pocket. Would you agree? Even though, like, we know there's a salary cap, but they don't seem to have that instinct. Is that fair?
Yes.
I am very curious to see how this plays out, because while Nico was already commanding a significant portion of the NIL budget, there's also this idea that we might have the rev share cap or whatever. I still say I'll believe that when I see it, because how that's going to stand up in court, I'd love to know how you can cap it based on every other court ruling. But there's kind of also the concept that, well, even if he goes and holds out for more money, they can go raise some more money, but it's not necessarily taking money out of my pocket. But I think the other weird thing going on is, in the NFL, you're all under contract anyway. In the NIL world, you're a free agent every single day. So I'm very curious to know, like, what the locker room dynamic is with this.
Well, when I saw this story pop, the first thing I immediately thought was, I'm surprised this is the first time this has actually happened. Like, we've heard the rumblings of this player is not getting what he was, what was told he was going to get. We've heard plenty of that. I think, I remember Jordan Addison when he went to USC, there was talks that he wasn't getting initially what he was supposed to get. But this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first true kind of holdout situation we've had based off of NIL. At least that's gone public.
Yeah, so I think that's the perfect way to say it. I have heard, I've heard situations where guys have gone in and tried to renegotiate in the middle of a week. Again, sometimes I roll my eyes because I don't know how much of it is serious, how much of it is, rumor and hearsay. This is the first one where it's public. And then I think the other factor that you have to consider is the numbers, whether it be football or basketball, the numbers for this year, and I don't know if this is an outlier or I don't know if this is just the example of the price is just going to keep going up. But the thought is, with the implementation of revenue sharing and the fact that everybody's trying to get these deals done before the House settlement goes final and your NIL deal is up for review by the third party, it has inflated all the numbers, because the market is just, it is clearly a good time to be an athlete. The market is very much in your favor. And so there's another portal window that opens up next week for about 10 days.
Yep.
And so this is clearly, like, you see this move all the time with agents in other sports, but I think what just makes it fascinating is you're reading about a college football player holding out for a contract dispute. It is one of those headlines that takes you a minute to get to come to grips with.
And this is where we're headed, and we're already there, right? You've seen it, you're seeing it too, where there was a player recently committed to different school. He committed to BYU and hoops. Like, it's there are, as we've said a lot, there are no rules. It's the Wild West. And for Nico, I don't blame him for doing this, but if you're Tennessee, and I got to imagine, because there's plenty of Tennessee fans listening in right now.
This is the home of 92.9 FM ESPN, is the home of the Vol Network here in Memphis.
You're rolling your eyes like, really? Like, three games against top 25 opponents last year, 48 of 91, 465 and a touchdown. They were 1-2 in those games. And look, I was all in on the Nico train last year. I thought he would be a legitimate Heisman contender with Heupel there at quarterback. They made the playoff this year. He wasn't a disaster by any stretch of the imagination. And if you're Nico, It's the name of the game, right? As the article pointed out, Carson Beck got a huge payday to go to Miami. Darian Mensah got a big old payday. I'm sure John Mateer went from Washington State to Oklahoma. I'm sure he got a hefty payday. So yesterday, and then that's what, you go back to the NFL for a moment, and I remember having this conversation nonstop in D.C. when the whole Kirk Cousins contract saga was going on. And not everyone, but a lot of us hosts were like, you do realize you lock him up for 5 years, and in 2 years, it's a bargain. Because that's the way contracts work. But in college football, where you can renegotiate essentially every single day, there is no, we're going to lock you up for 3 years, and if you're amazing, guess what? You signed a contract, and that's where I think we're at with this Nico situation. And the timing seems to make a lot of sense, as you pointed out, with a new portal window opening up in a couple of days.
I also wonder, though, how risky is this for Nico? Because if I'm Tennessee...
Is there a payday out there that's bigger?
So the threats, Cobb and I were talking about it. We hadn't gone through like every roster, but we were going to the obvious choices, because I had wondered, when Georgia did not go get a portal quarterback this year, I wondered if there was, because there was so much uncertainty with how this whole house thing was going to play out. I wondered if Georgia said, hey, these numbers right now, because remember CBS Sports, Talty, On3, they wrote the big story about, you know, this is back in December, about how the prices have gone through the roof. And I had wondered if maybe they were holding back and saying, let's check the market later and see if it comes down a little bit. But Georgia is at least optically giving the appearance that they're rolling with Gunnar Stockton. And they also have another young guy, his name escapes me, that one of my Georgia buddies is high on. So Georgia would be a possible threat. No one really knows what's happening in Alabama. The consistent talking point is that it's Ty Simpson's to lose. But Ty Simpson has had every opportunity to win the job in years prior and hasn't been able to do it. So there's still some people wondering, are they that solid? The only other one that came to mind right off the dome was, what do you think's going on at USC? Are they really going to roll with your UNLV boy?
I wouldn't think so.
And so Nico's obviously from Southern California.
Make or break year for Lincoln Riley too.
Yeah, like that was one that stood out to me, because they didn't really do anything, but I really don't know. Because my other thing with Nico is, I did not feel like Nico made the team better, but I also thought people were a little too harsh on him. I did not feel like he was the reason that the offense was sputtering late. I thought those receivers were terrible.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, we're going to get into it on the other side of the break, but when you look at...
Be a real shame if he missed this. Real shame. Be a real shame.
Watch it, Bryson.
Real shame.
All right, while you watch that putt, you know, you think back to last year, the national championship had two portal quarterbacks, at Will Howard versus Riley Leonard.
Yep.
This year, when you think about the portal quarterbacks, the most notable right now is Carson Beck. And then John Mateer at Oklahoma. Do you really think Miami or Oklahoma are going to vie for a national title? It's pretty wild. So if you look at the odds board right now, Ohio State's a betting favorite.
No way, really?
Julian Sayin. Texas is number two, Arch Manning. Georgia is number three, Gunnar Stockton. Oregon, number four. They went to the portal to get Dante Moore, but he's been there now for 2 years.
And they kept the, well, by all accounts, they paid to keep him.
Sure. I mean, when he went there from UCLA, you were like, oh, okay, they're spending a lot of money for a backup quarterback.
Yes.
That's their guy. But he was on the roster last year. Penn State, Drew Aller. Alabama, Ty Simpson. Notre Dame, who the hell knows, but all three are homegrown. Clemson, Klubnik. Tennessee, for now, Nico. LSU, Nussmeier. Ole Miss, who are they going with this year?
They're
going
to go with Aiden Williams. Remember the kid that came in when Dart rolled his ankle in the Georgia game, and the kid that came in?
Austin Simmons,
sorry. Why do I keep saying Aiden Williams?
Aiden Williams.
I don't know. It's Austin Simmons. He's a left-hander. He looks like new Tua.
You have to go all the way to Michigan, and you could argue that Mikey Keene's probably not going to be the starter for long. Is he going to win the job out of camp, or is the $10 million kid going to win the job?
You could talk me into Mikey is, because I don't know, does Michigan have another early big game?
I thought they played Texas this year.
You could talk me into the old...
they play Oklahoma week two.
Yeah, Mikey did feel more like depth. And, I mean, if you're going to spend what you did, like, I'm going to imagine he's going to get every opportunity to win the job.
So let's just say Mikey Keene doesn't win the job. You have to go to all the way down to Miami at 25-1. And are you making a bet on Miami to win the title?
No, that's more of a crystal ball thing than right. anything else.
But then even go past that. A&M, homegrown. South Carolina, homegrown. Florida, homegrown. USC, we'll see. But as of now, someone who was on their roster a year ago, and then you get to Oklahoma and Auburn. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting when you think back to last year when the number one team in the country most of the year had a portal quarterback in Dylan Gabriel in Oregon. The champion, portal quarterback in Will Howard. The runner-up, portal quarterback in Riley Leonard. And then this year, I guess the portal just wasn't that fruitful because there really weren't that many portal options out there for an immediate impact player. Once again, Oregon, I know, has a portal quarterback, but he was on the roster a year ago.
Yeah, and it's like Quinn Ewers was technically a portal quarterback, but Quinn is kind of also a weird.
Right.
He's a weird case study because originally what happened was the state of Ohio had NIL rules in place before Texas did. So what he really did was he went to Ohio State, got a payday, and then as soon as Texas got their NIL situation squared away, he just transferred back to Texas, which was probably where he wanted to go all along.
Sure.
Like, he never suited up for the Buckeyes. Like, you know what I mean? So
who was his roommate? Wasn't his roommate
it's the linebacker.
Edge rusher?
Was it Jack? What was the kid
Jack
that had
Sawyer.
Yeah,
Jack
the,
Sawyer.
The kid that had the run back.
The scoop and score.
Yeah. I don't know how we didn't hear that story. I don't know if people knew that they were roommates. But I do think that's kind of the other big question that I have in college football is the team that is primarily built through the portal, is that a model still? Because what I keep seeing for the most part, when schools have guys that they want to keep, they've been able at the power level. I'm not saying the max of the world, but the power level has basically been able to keep the guys that they want. And then what we're seeing now is the other guys that are in the portal. I kind of feel like they're in the portal for a reason, but I have no idea. You know what I mean? I'm not willing to sit there and say definitively one way or the other, this is how you have to do it.
Well, I think what's so interesting is we just crowned a champion in basketball where basketball is clearly getting to the point where two of the final four teams' best player was a player from the portal.
Yep.
And when you look at Ohio State, for example, Will Howard was good and he had a hell of a championship game. But he was a guy that USC didn't want him.
He was a bus driver.
Notre Dame didn't want him. Like, he was perfect for Ohio State. Just don't make mistakes. But I think I'm fairly confident in this take when it comes to the portal in college football. They're nice ingredients, but they can't be the main course. Because I look at Ohio State and the fact that they had Caleb Downs, that was a remarkable piece to add. They went out and got Quinshon Judkins. They added Will Howard, but they weren't necessarily the sole reason, and nothing can be in
college
football, right?
They filled holes.
And they were very good.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be selective, and you have to pick your spots, but you can't completely rebuild a roster on the fly via the portal. Like, and I think Colorado's kind of learning that a little bit, right? Because they tried to do it 2 years ago, and their offensive line was Swiss cheese. So you can, and that's, but you can't go without any portal help. Clemson,
yeah.
Because they were good, and but they weren't to the level where they're used to being. And now you're starting to see Clemson get a little bit involved in the portal action. So I think it's when you look at the best teams that are out there on a consistent basis. I mean, wasn't it a couple of years ago? I think Georgia a couple of years ago, one of their titles, I don't think they had any portal guys.
Yeah, I believe that was the whole deal. It was like no title guys. I think it's clear you have to dominate high school recruiting. If you're going to win a national title,
you have
contender.
To build depth.
Yes.
And especially now with the 16-game schedule. Like, once again, you mentioned it last week. Like, Notre Dame was down to their backup, like three backup offensive linemen, but they built through offensive line depth through high school recruiting. And then, to be honest, what happens? Three of those guys that started in the playoffs all left and are all at Power 5 schools now. One's at Nebraska, one's at Indiana, one's at Tennessee, because Notre Dame was like, I can't guarantee you a starting job. They're like, all right, we're going to roll. So, I mean, that's what you're seeing now, and that's what's so, you know, interesting about college football moving forward is you've got to build that depth from high school recruiting, but once those depth pieces get a little bit of action in the college football playoff, they're going to get poached away, and you've got to rebuild that depth as well.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to rank the top returning quarterbacks in college football. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
All right, Tim. We've been talking about the world of college football. So we did have one listener tweet in that Nico's dad has been firing off on Twitter that none of this is true. And
I saw that this morning about Nakos.
So I guess this is how I would say it. He held out at spring practice. This isn't a nothing burger. Like, this isn't something that was made up. Now, what you could talk me into is that this was a control of the narrative, and you could tell me, for all the reasons that we just mentioned last segment, maybe Tennessee's the one that said, Nico, we got to talk about this deal. And maybe that, like, that's, you know, that I think most people are assuming that Nico's holding out because he wants a bigger payday. I still think that's the most likely scenario. But what you could talk me into is that the story's really coming from the other direction. I still think that's unlikely.
I go back to what you brought up, and I hadn't thought about it. USC and what I deem to be a pretty important year for Lincoln Riley, they can't really be going into the season saying Jaden Maiava is our guy.
I mean, like, Jaden didn't win the job last year.
He was the starting quarterback for UNLV, and when I've been told when he left, they were like, all right, see you, dude. Like, they were not heartbroken when he left. UNLV!
I mean, to me, the thing was, like, when he replaced Miller, they didn't get better. Now, what you could tell me is because Lincoln didn't trust the offensive line, he's more mobile than Miller was, but, like, he didn't beat him out in camp. You know what I mean?
But if you're USC, and you just spent $1 million plus to get a GM from Notre Dame, and you're all in on Lincoln Riley, and apparently you've got the resources, this is the guy you're going to hit your way. Look, I was at Notre Dame USC at the end of the regular season, and Jaden Maiava made some plays. He's got some good receivers. He also threw not one, but two pick sixes in the end zone.
Yeah, he did.
So it's like,
guess which side Jeffrey was on?
Would you take the points?
I had the points.
Yeah. A lot of people I knew took the points. I thought Notre Dame was going to lose. So but that's just me.
I had the points. I did not have money line. And so I just needed one of the pick sixes.
But I hadn't heard about that, but I'm like, you know, it's not the craziest thing in the world with the portal era coming up here momentarily. So, or maybe Texas Tech will just say, hey, we've got all the money in the world. We just got the edge rusher from Stanford. We'll give you $15 million. JT Toppin's coming back. How much do you think JT Toppin's making to go back to Texas Tech next year?
Is the price of Lubbock oil, is it high again?
I guess it's doing all right.
That was the other thing. So it led us to the path of, okay, how would we rank the returning quarterbacks this year? And the thing that I think is noteworthy about this season is, for the most part, when you ask me, like, how do I feel about the quarterbacks coming in? My first thought is, it's a lot of guys with potential, but not a lot of guys with consistent total production.
Well, think about some of the names last year. So last year, Shador, Cam Ward, obviously those guys are going to be drafted high. Jackson Dart.
Ewers.
Jalen Milroe. Riley Leonard,
Beck,
Will Howard, Carson Beck. Like, there were names.
Gabriel. Did we say Gabriel?
Dylan Gabriel. Thank you. Yeah. Dylan Gabriel up in Oregon. And when you go down this year, I think there's a clear one. But if you remember to the exercise we did before the start of the playoff when we ranked the quarterbacks heading in, I'm a bit in on the camp of Cade Klubnik. But I think it's a, I think he's clearly the number one quarterback coming back to college football next year, because I just, I can't put Arch Manning there yet. I get that he's a five-star. I get that he is a Manning. He's playing in a very quarterback-friendly system. But he started, what, a game last year?
I think he started two, and he was fine.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine.
He could. There's a reason why he's the betting favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, because people are going to bet him, because he's on a very good team that's preseason, you know, top three. He's got a very good coach for quarterbacks. He's got talent. So there's a ton of sense why he's the betting favorite to win the Heisman, but I can't put him one in returning quarterbacks in the country. I can't do it.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here.
So you want to go through names before you
rank? Well, I want to go to Cade real quick, because yeah. I was pretty down on Cade. Not even just the Georgia game. Like, I just felt like, I was like, man, this just feels like everyone wants to rip on DJ and act like Cade's better than he is. Like, he's fine. But I totally agree with you, but this is my only hesitation. I thought he got better last year. I 100% definitely did.
I thought he played awesome against Texas.
I thought he had an awesome second half.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought he was awesome in the second half. But I also don't know how much of his improvement was just playing the ACC.
Oh, I don't disagree, but I also think, where would you rank? Like, I wouldn't rank Cade one last year, right?
Well, no, there's one name that I've not seen on any list that I think it's insulting.
Okay, so I want to run through some names.
All right.
And just so we're familiar of before we do our rankings. So you got Cade Klubnik coming back at Clemson, Garrett Nussmeier coming back at LSU. Those will be really high in most people's returning quarterback rankings. Drew Aller, I don't think either one of us are big Drew Aller guys, but he's coming back to Penn State. Lenora Sellers is going back to South Carolina. Kevin Jennings is going back to SMU. DJ Lagway. DJ Lagway back to Florida. Avery Johnson back to Kansas State. Sam Levitt, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I was not, if you remember back to December, I think I had Sam Levitt. I think I had him last or 11th in the quarterbacks in the college football playoff. That dude in the Big 12 championship game and then
the Texas game.
In the Texas game, he was awesome.
He also was a guy at Michigan State, kind of odd man out, and then obviously with the new coaching staff, they were bringing in Aiden Childs, and that was Jonathan Smith's guy from Oregon State, makes the decision to transfer. He was another guy, though, that I felt like early on, I felt like they tried to scheme around him, but as the year went on, he got better, he got more comfortable, and by the end, like, he was making a lot of plays.
But you got to ask, okay, he doesn't have his binky anymore.
Correct.
In Scataboo. How much is that going to hurt him this upcoming year? Which is, I think, a very fair question to ask. Other names that I put down, Devin Dampier, who's going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of love. He transferred. I think he might be the best portal quarterback. He went from New Mexico to Utah. I think he's going to be very good at Utah. How about our boy Diego?
That, why is he not on any list?
Our boy Diego.
All the kid
the
does is
monster.
Win.
And then John Mateer at Oklahoma.
All right. I got a Mateer take. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma is going to downgrade at quarterback. I think they made the emotional decision of benching Arnold to play the son of an Oklahoma legend, and you realized very quickly, oh, Jackson Arnold's not their problem. Like when they
Where's
had
he at now? He's at Auburn.
He's at Auburn.
Yes.
And so the thing that I thought, like, I remember
with like three other quarterbacks.
They were like, well, he's no, they paid. He's going to be their quarterback. But George will remember this. They played Ole Miss, and that was when they went back to Arnold as the starter. And the sideline reports were he had really been developing chemistry with a fifth-team receiver, because when he got benched, he got moved to the scout team and they started playing a lot. That's who he was throwing to. Like, and that offensive line was awful, but I also think what clearly happened is, and also George can remember this,
mm-hmm.
Luke was on the hot seat, he makes the decision to go away from Matt Corral and go to John Rhys Plumlee because he was Mississippi made, and he thought, like, this will all the moms in Jackson will be all in on this, and it was just like there's no universe where John Rhys Plumlee was a better quarterback than Matt Corral. It felt like the same thing. You're doing the emotional thing to try and to make your fan base happy. I do not think Jackson Arnold's going to be better than Mateer, and Mateer is a very fun quarterback. I also just know, watching Washington State, they largely played a Mountain West schedule, and I'm not of this opinion that this is going to solve all their problems.
So other names that I left off before we do our ranking, in no particular order. Marcel Reed at A&M. Miller Moss is now at Louisville. Luke Altmyer playing his 90th season of college football, still at Illinois.
Good kid. Bump.
Jake Retzlaff got his Manischewitz NIL money, so he's staying at BYU.
The Heathen Hebrew.
I like BYU. I think it's fine.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Rocco Becht, Iowa State. And
you mean new Brock?
Dylan Raiola. He's still
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Still there. So,
where did Jaden Rashada end up going?
Like Western Kentucky, maybe?
Did he really?
His lawsuit was, they did say they could that it could proceed. So that was good. All right, here's what I got.
Okay.
I'm not as...
I haven't solidified my... I'm all over the
place. Here's the thing that I'm struggling with. I don't know how to evaluate DJ Lagway because... On the one hand, I think the kid was playing with half of a hamstring at the end of the year, and I thought he started playing really, really well. I think Lagway is what people try to tell us Lenoris Sellers is. I don't have the Lenoris Sellers gene. I just cannot get, like, he will miss so many throws. Like, I do think if they play teams that can't keep him in the pocket, yes, he's very talented. I'd still rather have Diego Pavia.
I think that's fair.
On generic football team.
Well, at this point, Pavia is also more...
I mean,
he's been in college football like a lot 30. Longer, you know. Yeah, he's...
Yeah, but like my
he's
thing,
my age.
Like Sellers, like even in that bowl game against Illinois, it's like you just realize, man, like if you can keep him in the pocket and you dare him to throw, he's not going to beat you.
That's what we did.
But like what Clemson did, which was dumb,
is just let him...
Let's man up! Let's bring the house! Well, he just let everybody run right past him, and then he ran into the open field. And he can clearly do that.
Yeah.
But I also think people are... Lagway will miss a throw or two here and there. But, like, I am open to the idea that the sport next year could be DJ Lagway's. I don't think it's that insane. I'm not as low on Beck as everybody else is. I actually think that was a pretty good pickup for Miami. I think Beck's receivers were a problem. I do also think Beck can be a bit of a head case. I don't know what to do with Nussmeier. I think Nussmeier is just new Zach Mettenberger, where his arm is unbelievable. But when you watch him throughout like the course of a game, you're never left going like, that guy was awesome. Like, you do say, man, he made a good throw here, a good throw there, but, like, you're never left.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.